You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about, feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Here we go. Thursday, March 14, 2024. Thank you for downloading. It is a tight solo 30 today with just you and me, and I've got a lot of good stuff to get to. So, without further ado, we're here for a good time, not a long time. Let's start with topic number one. Nick Saban goes to Capitol Hill. Not sure what this committee hearing was all about. They do these all the time, and they pop up seemingly randomly, and you're like, oh, why are they testifying on this today? You know, because certain senators and congressmen call people and topics of interest and say, we'd like to have you come and testify in front of Congress, so that maybe we can propose a law that would sound good, like the puppies and ice cream law, that would actually be something completely different and totally horrible. Puppies and ice cream, of course, being two of the great things in life. Proof, I think, that God exists and he loves us. So he was testifying on Capitol Hill about name, image, and likeness, and the money that is now flooding college athletics. Here is what Nick Saban had to say on a macro level. Quote, you're going to create a caste system where the rich will get richer and the poor get poorer. And eventually the fans will look at it like, I don't really want to watch the game. I think he's half right. There's no question that Neil is going to break college sports in two, sort of like the Titanic when it tilted up into the sky, when it took on water and the weight of the body of the boat just ripped it in half. That's going to happen as the weight of nil money collapses or it accumulates in the power brokers. But will people not watch the games? Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, depending on how you look at it, the appetite for a second level, a less polished quasi-pro level of basketball and football will still be so popular, even if the Kentuckys in basketball and the Alabamas in football are the most thinly branded, loosely affiliated with the actual schools, and none of the players are actually students level of product. People are gonna still want to watch. Now, the number of schools that want to swim with those sharks, that want to get on the treadmill of, we need more money, we need more money, we need more money, got to get a quarterback, got to get a wideout, need more money, need a power forward, got to get more money. The number of those schools that are willing to do that is going to be a lot smaller than we got currently. It could still be interesting and watchable and maybe even fun, but who knows? It's going to get very, very dicey. That's what he said on the macro level. Oh, by the way, backed up by this, Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio tweeted out some news. I'm hearing an official Kentucky basketball NIL fund will be officially launched tomorrow for the purpose of making UK basketball the top NIL destination in college hoops. Calipari and others part of the launch, potential big deal for UK hoops going forward. I would not bet against Kentucky finding a way and finding the money to be that spot, to be the place where there is the most money, to be a quasi-pro team, to be sort of the Lakers of college basketball. And they're going to keep getting the kind of top-level recruits that Calipari used to get by selling them on the whole, hey, come here for a year. We're going to play a fun brand of basketball. We're not going to worry about defense and shit like that. We're going to let you get your shots off, show off your flair for the association. And as soon as you think you can be drafted high enough for what you like, get out of here. You get out of here. In fact, I don't even have room for you. I got more All-Americans coming. Get out of here, you knucklehead. Go make that NBA money. Calipari has embraced that over the years. And so now with this NIL fund, this is one of the rich that are going to get richer. How will it affect Title IX? Great question. Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports writes about college football, said if athletes are ultimately deemed to be employees, Jim Phillips, who I guess is, not sure his title doesn't mention it, Jim Phillips believes that universities could then pay athletes in sports that make revenue, football and basketball, and then to satisfy Title IX, they would pay a, quote, equivalent number of female athletes, and the rest of the sports could then simply be cut. He said, quote, you could go from 28 sports down to 6 in a single year. Now, Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic chimes in by saying, no one actually knows how Title IX would apply in an employment model for college sports. Labor experts have educated guesses, but nobody knows for sure. She does go on to say, experts I've spoken to believe that sports would likely get cut, but also the problem is that, quote, you have the adults who just simply want to keep paying themselves. We've been in a world where they've had free labor. Ah, yes, free labor. I'm glad that that phrase was uttered because I have a thought on it. I believe that college athletes are essentially interns in big corporations. And yes, Nick Saban can talk about, man, these kids, all they care about is money now, thanks to NIL. And people can go, oh, I guess you're the only one that can have a $17 million lake house. He's a professional. He is the coach. He's the CEO of this company. The athletes, while necessary, are interns. They flow through the whole enterprise almost like a river. And under the old system, the reason that I can say with confidence there is never a problem with the value proposition of athletes not getting paid cash to play for Kentucky or Duke or Alabama or Ohio State or anyone else in football or basketball is that there was an endless supply of guys going, ooh, I'll take that scholarship. I'll get that training. I'll get that coaching because I want to go to the NFL or the NBA. Endless supply. They're interns. They're still kids, really. They're 17, 18, 19-year-old kids, not fully formed, and they're not ready to be pros. I mean, they may be able to play bouncy ball at the pro level at that age, but they're not fully developed. So they had this great deal where they were like well taken care of and even compensated to a small degree, like $5,000 of spending cash, interns in a big money-making enterprise. And most of the interns would not go on to become their own CEO of a multi-million dollar company, which is them incorporated. They would have to go get a real job in the real world, which requires, at least for a good job, it requires a certain amount of education, which was provided to them for free. And they got to play on national TV and meet friends and form friendships and bonds and relationships with coaches and players that would last a lifetime. I mean, it was a pretty fucking good deal, but it's now being torn apart because they want the money now. Give me some money. What am I worth? This guy got paid this much. How come I'm not getting that? And the schools are going to scramble to try to find, okay, we need a fund to be able to pay our players because Kentucky, did you see what they had over at Kentucky? We are screwed. I believe Auerbach is right in saying nobody knows how Title IX would play into this because it's going to be litigated, I'm sure, and it's going to bounce around. It'll probably go straight, not straight, it'll probably end up in the Supreme's lap about, okay, so now that we've got basically pro sports on, quote, college campuses, what about Title IX? How does that apply? It's almost certainly, I think, going to bounce its way up to that level. And then we'll see what the Supreme say about whatever comes of this. But if NIL causes college athletic departments to say, okay, cool, we don't have to have a track and field team. We don't need to have gymnastics, men's golf, bye-bye. And they cut all those sports to concentrate on being good at bouncy ball and football, with the bare minimum number of women's athletes being paid to offset, and the number of sports and opportunities to play sports at a collegiate level dwindles from 28 programs at the big boys down to 6. Is that a good thing? I don't think it is. Some would say it doesn't matter if you think it's good or not. It is what it is. It's the way things are going. You can't fight it. You're right. You can fight it, but a number of schools are going to say, guess what? We're not participating. Here was Nick Saban talking about what really kind of pushed him finally as he was creeping towards the edge of retirement into that big rocking chair on the porch with a glass of lemonade.
All the things that I believed in for all these years, 50 years of coaching, no longer exist in college athletics. So it's always about developing players. It was always about helping people be more successful in life. My wife even said to me, we'd have all the recruits over on Sunday with their parents for breakfast, and she would always meet with the mothers and talk about how she was going to help and impact their sons and how they would be well taken care of. And she came to me, you know, like right before I retired and said, why are we doing this? And I said, what do you mean? She said, All they care about is how much you're going to pay them. They don't care about how you're going to develop them, which is all what we've always done. So why are we doing this?
Yeah. Well, so there you go. And of course, the first two comments under this post on Twitter. This man made millions off the backs of the boys he coached. Yet he sits here and lectures us about how his gravy train got harder when the boys got paid too. Another one. I don't like it because it used to be able to pay the top recruits and their families, and now everybody can do it out in the open. The old way was better. Okay, fine. Easy pot shots, but the landscape is headed for a reckoning. You can't kill baseball. And I know that people have said for years, oh, it's a dying sport, too slow, too old, too white. Well, according to the SFIA and their survey of sports that began in 2008, baseball participation is at nearly 16.7 million in the U.S. It's officially the highest recorded level since they began this survey in 2008. When you combine baseball and softball, it's 25.3 million. Casual participation in baseball is more than 8.9 million participants, more than double since the launch of the Play Ball initiative. Good. I love it that an old school sport that is not as hip with the times is still thriving. I know I loved playing baseball. Watching it at times can be boring, but playing it was never boring, even when you were not getting the ball hit to you or if you had to ride the bench. It was always fun as hell. Packer fans will have a good laugh over this one in the years to come. Remember that time we signed Xavier McKinney from the Giants as a safety? And the first thing he says on Twitter is, hey, I want Bart Starr's number. Of course, he didn't say it specifically like that. He just was unaware that Bart Starr's number 15 was not available. Now, McKinney wore 15 in college. He's worn 29 as a Giant. But here's what he wrote, because you can change numbers when you change teams. He tweeted, what number should I get? Keep that 2-9 or bring that 1-5-MF with a thinking emoji or chin-scratching emoji. He then followed up by saying, Bart had 1-5. Play as F up sometimes too, laughing emoji. My bad. Hey, at least the Packers weren't going to give it to him. Once upon a time when Steve Spurrier was briefly the coach of the Redskins, his hand-picked Florida Gator ex-QBs, Shane Matthews and Danny Werfel, rolled out of the locker room for day one of training camp wearing numbers 9 and numbers 7, the iconic single-digit numbers of the two greatest quarterbacks in Redskin history, Sonny Jurgensen, number 9, and Joey Theismann as number 7. We in the media, Andy and I in particular, reacted as if we had stepped on a sharp Lego in our bedroom left by our kids and squealed, why is he doing this? And we ripped Dan Snyder for even allowing it. Of all the things Dan Snyder should have meddled in, he should have told Spurrier, yeah, no, those numbers are not available. Now, technically, they were not retired, but nobody issued them, because they belong to only two guys. Of course, Dwayne Haskins went on to wear 7. Joe Theismann kind of criticized him for that. It wasn't real happy about it. It turned out he was kind of correct that the young man was immature and sadly it cost him his life. Rest in peace, Super Sky Point, to Dwayne Haskins. Bart Starr's number. Hey, man, should I rock that 1-5 or nah? Hey, look who's got a podcast. I know you're excited because there's not enough of them out there. You're a loyal Zabecast listener, so I know you're not going anywhere, but Lou Holtz has got himself a podcast.
And he walks away after winning his 100th game as the head coach here at Notre Dame.
The reason I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth, I was born in this country. It isn't what you have, it's what you're taught about the values of life.
We trying to save souls.
See, there's a rule of life, but then you're either growing or you're dying. And like an old friend once said, we as Americans need to start winning again.
Everyone should ask this question. Am I willing to endure the pain and the suffering and the sacrifice it takes to be a champion?
There you go. Lou Holtz Show podcast, Coaching America Back to Greatness. Good for him. It could be an interesting podcast. I don't know how much of the culture he's going to change. I don't know how much of a influencer the now, 83-year-old Lou Holtz is. I do kind of laugh at his Daffy Duck lispy delivery. Should provide for some good sound bites, some good fodder for Lou Holtz impersonators, but yeah. Moving the needle, I don't know. But good for him. Good for him. Dateline Dallas. Looks like the Cowboys are broke as a joke when it comes to free agency. Only three teams have yet to sign someone that wasn't on their roster last season. They are the Buccaneers, who splurged to keep Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield, the Seahawks, and then the Cowboys. Prior to free agency, Jerry Jones had said the team would be, quote, all in. To which now Skip Bayless tweeted, all in, comma, my ass. To which then people started memes and were making jokes about, man, that comma between all in and my ass, that deserves to be in the punctuation hall of fame. People creating memes like Spider-Man holding onto two trains going in opposite directions with all his strength to keep him from pulling him apart. Or a chain, a steel chain with a single paperclip holding as one of the links. All in my ass. They're going to need a whole lot of money in order to sign Dak Prescott, who they know is good, but not great. Maybe Dak Prescott, if he wins this lawsuit, can give the Cowboys a big-time discount. And good for Dak for doing this. Dak Prescott is suing a woman who is threatening to go public with false sexual assault allegations if he doesn't pay her $100 million. It's about time that an athlete said, okay, enough of these shakedowns. I'm gonna put my foot in the ground here. Now, I don't know if he's actually not guilty of doing whatever this woman may be threatening to accuse him of. But yeah, this is extortion. This is a blackmail. Although, wait. See, just like libel, slander, and defamation. What's the difference between blackmail and, what did I say? Extortion. Extortion and blackmail. Kind of similar things. Dak said that if he does proceed with the lawsuit, if he wins any money from the woman, that it would be donated to charities. He's not in it to make a buck himself. On we go to some non-sports news. I don't know how this is legal, but apparently a court in Massachusetts said, yep, works for us. A Massachusetts town has adopted an unusual ordinance banning the sale of tobacco to anyone born in the 21st century. It's being looked at as a possible model for other cities and towns to hope to further clamp down on cigarettes and tobacco products. Now, you heard me right. Anyone born in the 21st century can't buy cigarettes in Brookline, Massachusetts. That's the township. The bylaw, the first of the country, is adopted by Brookline in 2020, and last week was upheld by the state's highest court, opening the door for other communities to adopt similar bans that will, decades from now, eventually bar all future generations from buying tobacco. It's a rather creative way to slowly snuff out businesses and entities that you disagree with. A law that says, yes, it's not illegal now for everyone, but it's going to become more illegal as the years go on until basically nobody will be allowed to do it. The Association of Convenience Stores has lobbied against this law, and understandably so. The sales of their tobacco products had been a significant portion of their income, even as smoking has declined in the United States. Personally, I think if you're going to ban it, you should say, we're going to ban it right away. And if there's not popular enough support to do so, this trick of, well, we're just going to slowly choke it out, should not be legal. But this could be headed to the Supreme Court as well. We shall see. I don't think, is it too late for me to take up smoking? Like, let's say at 56 years old, always having been disgusted by this acrid, disgusting smell of cigarette smoke, to be able to sniff out a single cigarette outdoors on a soccer field-sized area, I'd be like, who's smoking? Would it be too late for me to take it up? Has anyone out there listening said, you know, this is crazy, Zay, but I was like you. I never smoked, and then one night I was really drunk at a bar, and the guy says, here, you want a cigarette? And I tried it, and well, lo and behold, I'm a smoker now. Go figure. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Golf PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan said that negotiations with the Saudi Arabia with the Saudi Arabian PIF fund, or public investment fund, that'd be a double fund, the PIF, are, quote, accelerating, and that the tour is engaged and, quote, making progress. He also said that whatever happens with a potential deal is, quote, not going to satisfy everyone. Now, I know many of you don't like me talking about golf on this podcast. You want me to talk about it over on the Capital Golf Gang. Well, I'm here to say, guess what? We did just that. And I thought it was a good conversation, an interesting one, and appears that, according to my boys, Ronis and Ghoul, the main holdup is how do you kind of unscramble the egg for players that left and took the live money. What do you charge them? What do you make as their penalty for returning to the PGA Tour? Because a number of players did not jump to the live. And so they're looking at the tour like, well, are you going to pay me? Because I stayed. I stayed to keep you guys afloat when you needed it the most. You know, guys like Ricky and Rory and others. That's going to be kind of hard. But Monahan says they're working on it. If you want a more detailed discussion, and I'm sure some of you do subscribe to my Capital Golf Gang podcast, which drops once a week. Man, Boeing has had a week, haven't they? And it's only getting worse. So not only did Boeing have several incidents, like I think it was a Boeing plane that had jet fuel leaking out the wheels of a 747 as it took off. Somebody spotted it. Had a tire fall off one of its other planes. A pilot for United in a Boeing. Well, Boeing's had a bad week. United's had a bad week. Boeing, though, of course, has had the MAX 737 thing where the door flew off on the Alaska Airlines flight, and it was pretty clear it was not installed properly. Well, things are getting worse on that front. According to the NTSB, telling ABC News, Boeing overwrote surveillance footage from the repair facility where a door plug was reinstalled ahead of the blowout on the Alaska Airlines flight earlier this year. Wow! What are the odds, huh, kids? Oh, yeah, no, we had a tape of that, but can't find it. We taped over it. We taped an episode of Peaky Blinders. Go figure! It's a good show. Actually, probably not a good reference. Stranger Things. Yeah, we taped over that. Sorry. You would think there's no use in having surveillance footage if you want to find out, are the workers we're hiring doing the right things to make the airplanes we build safe, than to have a system in which the footage, all of it, gets automatically sucked into a digital hard drive, massive amounts of gigabytes, terabytes, tetrabytes, I don't even know what's above that, of storage, and there's no way to not have it. But golly, what do you know? So I guess we'll never know who might have fucked up installing that thing. And it gets worse. You heard about the 43-year Boeing employee who had turned into a whistleblower to tell the government and the oversight agencies, hey, Boeing is cutting corners like a mofo. In fact, he was currently in the middle of giving depositions in his whistleblower retaliation case, which was nearing the end when he was found, this guy, John Barnett, dead of an apparent suicide in his truck with a gun in his hand. It's quite possible there's nothing nefarious about this.
He was obviously under a lot of stress. He'd become a whistleblower. Major forces were aligned against him. He was countersuing for the punishment he received, the sort of the shunning and the, I guess, all the pressure he got from being that whistleblower. So high-stress situation, it wouldn't shock me if he truly did commit suicide. But on the other hand, isn't that convenient as well? Neil Young is done flushing his money down the drain. He's had enough. He's returning to Spotify with his music collection 2 years, 2 years after leaving because of Joe Rogan's vaccine comments that he said was spreading dangerous misinformation. Nobody missed ya. Even though the same dangerous misinformation, such as the vaccine causing increased and dangerous rates of myocarditis, with especially young males, being on many other platforms right now and in many other places, he's not now going to them and go, oh, you too? You're having a show on that does it? I'm off of your platform as well. No. He's not doing that. He's given up the fight against misinformation. He has quietly said to his agent and his lawyers, yeah, put the music back on. Because, you know, I like money. So, yeah, this is not going well. What a pathetic, stupid self-own by Neil Young. Then there's this. TikTok could be going away. Maybe. I'm not counting on it, but it's probably closer than it's ever been. Congress is drafting a law that would ban TikTok. It's believed that Biden would sign it. Somebody said, wouldn't it be hilarious if the Biden administration successfully nuked TikTok from United States customers on their app stores, and it cost him the Zoomer vote or the Generation Z vote that they were counting on, and he loses the election because of it? That would be pretty damn funny. Talk about an own goal. I don't think it's going to happen, though. And I've said before, when I tell people, oh, yeah, I saw this on TikTok. You're on TikTok? Don't you know that the Chinese use it as a spy tool? I'm like, yeah. But I don't care because our government, which can do things like put me in jail or you in jail, they're already spying on us through other apps like Facebook and Twitter, at least before Elon Musk took it over, and other such platforms. I don't fear our government, or I don't fear China's government, because they don't currently, I hope I don't live long enough to see it, they don't currently actually run the U.S. Oh, they bought the U.S., lock, stock, and barrel, but they don't currently run the U.S. So I'm not that concerned. It's also under the theory of, look, my data is so out there like every American's because I like to use modern devices and I have to use social media platforms as a public personality that I don't have an option of going completely off the grid digitally. Maybe someday, but not now. Anyway, so I don't really care, but I've not read a better synopsis of what a giant nothing burger and almost a misdirection play this is, then this here from Sean Davis, co-founder of the Federalist publication. He writes to say, here's what's actually going on with the TikTok fight right now. Deep state toadies are taking advantage of anti-China sentiment to transfer TikTok surveillance apparatus from China's evil surveillance state to the U.S. government's evil surveillance state. TikTok isn't going to be banned because neither the CCP-run Chinese government nor the CCP-owned U.S. government wants to lose such a valuable tool for spying on Americans and poisoning their minds with children. Instead, the corrupt U.S. intelligence bureaucracy wants control of TikTok, which is why it included the divestment mandate for the Chinese company ByteDance as part of their possible solutions. Only a handful of U.S. companies are capable of buying and managing TikTok, and they already function as appendages of the deep state surveillance apparatus. It's not that the U.S. government wants to protect you from spying and data theft and manipulation, if only, writes Davis. No, the people behind the Russian collusion hoax, the Kavanaugh hoax, the natural origin of COVID hoax, and the illegal warrantless spying, and the forced transing of your kids, they want to be the ones spying on you and stealing your data, and they want to be the ones poisoning the minds of your children with whatever they think is appropriate. Now, says Davis, should a spying and subversion tool be used by our communist enemies to destroy us be banned? Well, yeah, obviously, for the same reason that we would never have allowed the Soviet Union to infiltrate our homes with their own radios and TV sets during the Cold War. But that is not what is happening here. Your government, writes Sean Davis, won't even shoot down a communist Chinese spy balloon or prevent the communist Chinese government from gobbling up your farmland. Both are true. When I found out that China owns thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of American dirt, I just couldn't. I'm like, what in the living fuck? Really? And the answer is yeah. They won't stop the communist Chinese government from stealing the products you make, dumping them into your market at below market prices, and then driving you out of business. Heck, when the literal Chinese spy chief bought off the Biden family by funneling $1 million to Hunter, the Department of Justice didn't even bat an eyelash. There's no evidence, writes Sean Davis, that anywhere in the regime that currently controls America has any interest in fighting off China's attempts to cripple our country economically, militarily, or diplomatically. But suddenly, they want you to believe that they're deeply concerned about TikTok. I'm just not buying it, and neither should you. All right, couple of emails here, and then we're done. Thank you to everybody who weighed in with the whole, hey, Pueblo, Colorado's ape, that's where all the government publications were made. So if you needed a pamphlet or a transcript or whatever, basically the U.S. government bookstore was located in and distributed out of good old Pueblo, Colorado. Thank you for the multiple people who said that. I knew it was somewhere in my brain. We can call off the dogs. Then there's this on the Nest thermostat issue. And I want to be as gentle to this fella as I can because he's a fan. He's a listener. Jimmy Baker writes to say, ring doorbells and our evil government overlords. Steven, I'm a few podcasts behind, so maybe this has been cleared up by now. If not, here goes. I work directly for a utility in the Midwest. While there are programs that, yes, customers can voluntarily sign up for, which allows us, the utility, to temporarily adjust their thermostat during peak times of electrical use, the government has zero access to this. Simply having a Nest thermostat or another wireless thermostat does not give anyone direct access to your thermostat, let alone the government. Define direct access. If you sign up for the program, you have to have a Nest thermostat to let the utility go, hey, you know what, we're kind of struggling with juice right now, so we're going to take you up to 78. But don't worry, just be for a few hours. You're probably at work anyway. While the program mentioned above does seem intrusive, I don't remember the last time my company even thought about using it. Oh, God. Jimmy. They think about using it all the time. And when you say, oh, the government can't control this, who regulates the utilities? Oh, wait. Uh-huh. Yes, the government. So while they haven't done it yet, the snake is coiling its body around its prey. Hasn't struck yet, but the coils are starting. They're now one step closer. And all they need is a justification or a very flimsy excuse or a so-called public emergency. He says, not to mention this, customers that sign up for this program receive a monthly credit on their bill, regardless if it ever gets utilized, albeit it's a small one, and not worth it for me. Well, of course they do. That's the bait. That's the bait to get the cheapskates in the trap. Oh, free money, Edna. We just got to get a Nest thermostat and let our utility, in their case of emergency, just adjust it a little bit just for a few hours. This is so funny because you think that the government wouldn't be capable of this. You're crazy. There's a bill right now being debated that would put kill switches in every car made going forward. I just told you the story about the town in Massachusetts. Like, yeah, if you're born in the 21st century, you can't buy tobacco. And that has been approved by the courts. Don't think the government is your friend in any way, shape, or form. Please. Jim Baker says, please stop listening to the conspiracy theorists that think the evil government overlords can just shut off your heat whenever they want. No, they can't do it now. But they're getting closer and closer all the time. Conspiracy theorists. I mean, if that's your argument, then can we really even talk at this point? How many, quote, conspiracies have been proven to be, oh, actually, that was totally true. On a side note, and this is where I have hope for my guy Jim Baker, no relation to the former televangelist who, I think that was Jim Baker with two Ks, right? Jim Baker and Tammy Faye Baker. Oh, yeah. Google them. Go YouTube and watch a couple of those. Side note, says Jim, what should really scare you is the whole EV revolution. Well, first of all, it's a revolution being propped up by the government with subsidies and mandates and laws designed at, hey, you car makers, you better get into the electric vehicle market. The EV market is collapsing, and I'm going to have my boy Rezer on, who knows cars like nobody else, walk us through it again, because he told us this on the podcast months ago. He's like, look, disaster is coming for these car makers on all these EVs that they can't sell. Anyway, says Jim Baker, the EV revolution, which should scare you, is it would cripple our electric grid if anyone actually went and bought an electric vehicle, not even close to enough power or infrastructure to handle the increased load. Keep up the good work, Jim. Well, good. See, Jim, that last paragraph right there. I'm like Leonardo DiCaprio in, what's that? One Night in Hollywood, One Day in Hollywood, 2 weeks, whatever that movie is, where the meme of him snapping and then pointing at the TV like, oh, look, I point at that paragraph. Think about the last paragraph you wrote me and realize who's pushing the EV thing. Realize how disastrously undoable it is as an idea and what would happen if it were to be followed to its full conclusion. Take that, turn right around and apply it to the first three paragraphs where you chide me for believing conspiracy theorists saying, oh, the government would never control your thermostat. Well, they aren't now, they haven't yet, but don't think they aren't thinking of it. And once they figure a way that they can do it and get away with it, have either enough media backing or public just going along like sheep, it's Katie bar the door. Game over. Game over, man. It's game over. Podcast over. Thank you so much for listening, and I appreciate your support. Tomorrow is Friday. Subscribers to Friday get another show a week. They also get my undying gratitude for being subscribers and contributing $5 a month, the whole $5 a month, to this overall endeavor. Usually they get Scott and Solly. One more week at least of no Scott and Solly due to scheduling constraints and other issues. But I'm going to do everything I can, move heaven and earth to get them back on Fridays with my schedule and their schedule, because I know how much you guys love them, as I love them as well. But you are going to get Notorious J.A.Y. He's, quote, scheduled to appear. So I put that in quotes because you never quite know. Nothing is guaranteed. But I thank everyone who is a subscriber. You get an extra day. And yes, you get to know you're supporting this podcast. If you don't, that's fine as well. Freeloaders are welcome. They're scorned, though. I know. But they're welcome. We want to welcome all the freeloaders listening. Thank you for that. You're enduring some advertising. I get it. Which if you can't fast forward through the ads like I do, like I cannot, when I'm mowing the lawn and I listen to podcasts, I mean, I sit through everyone's ads because I'm not digging into my pocket while trying to put stripes down on my beautiful new Turf Tiger 2 mower from Skag. I'm just going to listen to the commercials. They'll be over in a second. Relax. But I thank everybody who is a subscriber. And there is a possible new exciting wrinkle and an offer to subscribers coming soon. I'll tell you about it next week as we deliberate, me and Chris Broussard, Podmaster, marketing guru to the stars, talk about this. Should be something, I think, pretty cool coming on Monday. All right, thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday or any Thursday you want. I'm not here to micromanage your life, and we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.